TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
So I see an enormous amount of very positive things about our team.
Show of hands.
I don't know, show of hands. Show of hands.
It's Show of Hands.
Yes, it is the podcast with the absolute best open in the whole podcast industry. There's not a single one with a better opening.
I think the most joy that I get out of doing Show of Hands with you every Monday is the smile that just comes onto your face whenever we play the intro.
It's impossible not to smile when you hear that. I don't think I'll ever not smile when I hear David Kahn say that. It's perfect.
It's an all-timer, man.
There is no better opening of a podcast in the history of podcasts, in the history of the world. We have the best one ever. So I'm proud to say that. I know you are as well. It is absolutely freaking amazing to get to listen to that once a week, every time when we record this. And you get to listen to it once, twice, or however many times you listen to each individual episode. Because I know so many of you out there probably on Spotify or iTunes, Apple Music, whatever, just listen to this on repeat. And I can't blame you because it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
So today marks the end of the initial round of interviews for the Minnesota Timberwolves as they're searching for a new president of basketball operations. It's widely been reported that there are four candidates being interviewed. Chauncey Billups is the fourth and final one to actually get his initial interview, and that's happening today as we record this. It's 3:14 on Monday afternoon, April 29th Central Time right now. Chauncey Billups is the fourth and final candidate to have his initial interview. Garrison Rosas and Calvin Booth and Trajan Langdon have all reportedly interviewed with the Wolves for the job. And I want to dive in here, and I want to do a little power rankings.
Okay.
Which of the four candidates do you like the most? Which do you like the least? What guys are in the middle? You know how power rankings work. And I want reasoning as to why. I've got my own list. I know, Manny, that you have your own opinions as well. And we may differ. We may not. We haven't compared lists prior to turning the mics on, but we'll see what we have here. But I think that there are certainly some interesting candidates, and I know that my list might not be the most popular one amongst listeners of this podcast, but that's where I'm at. So I'll leave it to you. Who do you have as your number four candidate?
Chauncey Billups right now is number four.
You and I are in agreement there. I don't think that it's fair to trust a guy that has never been in a front office to run an organization. I don't think it's a fair expectation. I don't think it's a good idea for the franchise. Now, sure, maybe he'll blow those guys away in the interview. Maybe he'll have an awesome interview, and maybe he'll be worth the second interview. Maybe they'll want to offer him a job. But I can't trust a guy that's never done it before at any level to come in and immediately have full control over the organization. While he's at fourth on mine, I don't know that he's the least likely to get the job. And I don't know that because I think that he's got that emotional connection. And I think maybe because he doesn't have that experience, maybe it's possible that Glenn Taylor wants that because he could still have more of a say in basketball operations.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, when I think about Chauncey Billups is, and this is, I don't think this is not related to directly to building this team around Karl Anthony Towns and trying to turn this team back into a place that they have really not been in 15 years, which is a legit championship contending team. And really, they were only that for one season. But there may be a way with bringing Chauncey in, and again, this should not be Chauncey's number one job or his mission or anything like that if he does get the job, but there may be an opportunity for the whatever wall that has been built up between Glenn Taylor and Kevin Garnett. Chauncey may be a guy that can bring that wall down and bring Garnett back into the fold as far as having some form of relationship with the organization. Now, again, like I said before, that doesn't have anything to do with building this roster into a contender.
That doesn't win you any basketball games.
Correct.
You can have the best relationship with Kevin Garnett in the world and win 15 games. You could have no relationship with Kevin Garnett and win 65. Kevin Garnett's involvement in the franchise, while nice, while it would be great for your best player in franchise history to not have a grudge against the franchise that he spent a majority of his career with, while it'd be great it doesn't do you anything on the court.
Right, exactly.
And that's like, sure, you would love to see his number in the rafters where it belongs at Target Center. You would love to see him around at games more than once a year.
And my fear, believe it or not, Danny, my fear is that that is going to play a big role in Chauncey getting the job.
I think that...
I hope that's not the case.
And I know that's what you're saying, but I think that would be the worst possible reasoning ever.
Yeah, I know.
Because, like I said, it's never going to win you games. It's not going to help you develop players better. It's not going to help you identify draft prospects better. All it's going to do is appease the fan base for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Because then it'll be normal, as it should be to begin with.
Yep.
And then nothing changes. And then you're still a middling franchise who is maybe suffering through the same fate with Carl as you did with Kevin.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
Two different Kevins.
But because of this owner and how this owner has run this team in the past, that is my fear, is that that sort of situation is playing a big role in Chauncey being in the mix. That's my fear.
I understand that fear. I think it's a legitimate fear. I think it's a terrible thing that it is very legitimate and true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number three on your list, Manny Hill, go ahead.
Number three on my list is Rosas.
Why? And here's where we are different here.
I think it has less to do with him and more so to do with the two guys that I have in front of him.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Gotcha. I'm not, which obviously means you're much higher on Calvin Booth than I, because I have Calvin Booth third on my list.
I have Calvin number two.
I really, really admire what Houston's done and how they've kind of rewritten the way that basketball's played. Now, you can call their style ugly. You can say that it's not visually appetizing or whatever. You just don't like to watch it. Sure, that's fine. But the results don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a team that very easily could have won the championship last year. That's a team that has had to adapt. And they went through a rebuilding process without missing the playoffs. Because they went from being, I believe they were the number two seed in 2015, to the number eight seed in 2016. And they were a middle-of-the-pack playoff team in 2017. And then, boom, they're the one seed in 2018. Now they're the four seed this year. But really, I mean, it was because they got off to a slow start and they're challenging the Warriors for a potential title right now.
Mm-hmm.
I admire that he's been part of that for so long. And I think that him being Daryl Morey's right-hand man, now you can absolutely disagree with some things done in Houston or the way that some things are done in Houston, but I think that the way that they've had to be creative and the way that they've had to make tough decisions but make them well, I think that that's admirable. And he's a guy that I would like to see near my franchise if I'm making this type of decision. I would love for him to be part of it. As for Calvin Booth, I don't know that he's got the front office experience that I want.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around, I know, and he's got that tie to the Wolves, which I think is very enticing for a lot of people here, and I don't have that emotional connection. I don't care if you have spent 1 minute inside. I don't care if you've spent your entire life in Minnesota or if you've never met Glenn Taylor. I do not care one iota for this.
Right.
That matters absolutely zero to me, but I know that matters to some people. And I know that Calvin Booth, being a former Minnesota Timberwolf and all those things, that has the emotional attachment. But part of the reasoning is he's only been in Denver for a couple years, and I'm not sure how much credit he deserves for their rebuild. Yeah, we can say the same thing about Trajan Langdon, but I think that their rebuild has been much different than Denver's, because Denver kind of drafted and developed, and those guys have kind of been around, and they've just developed really well, so you don't know how much of that is on the current front office and guys like Booth that have been there. I'm not saying he can't do it by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying I have him at number three on my power ranking.
Okay. I think what entices me about Calvin is the player development angle, because that's when he was here, that was the area that he was in. Mm-hmm. Now, the counter to that could be, well, the Wolves are the Wolves and that whole thing. But I think that the way the Nuggets have developed their players, and they've taken guys who were not drafted high and turned them into, at the very least, very serviceable contributors.
Sure, yes.
on the second seed in the
they've
Western
done
Conference.
That, they've
right.
done that very well.
And that's what entices me about
you
Calvin.
Need someone like that, but I don't know if that's your president of basketball operations.
Sure, that's fair.
I don't know if that's that guy.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
That's where my qualms are, because you do need someone like that, but often that's a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Often that's a guy like John Lucas III who you hope is that guy. That's where you see a lot of the player development credit given. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't really know. But I'm not sure that it's the president of basketball operations that we're going, oh, look at how he developed him. I don't know that that's the guy. I think that I'm looking more so for guys that can pick out guys that can be developed as opposed to guys that are actually developing them, if that makes sense.
Sure, that's fair, yeah.
So
we both agree on our number one.
Yes, we do agree on number one at Trajan Langdon. Why do you have him top?
For me, I look at the way the Nets have gotten themselves out of this hell. This hell.
Like, you can't even say purgatory. They were in hell.
Yes.
Because I know, I think that's where your mind wanted to go, but you're like, that doesn't make sense.
But the way that, I mean, Billy King left them in such a mess with just no assets, old aging players, bad contracts, not as many bad contracts as the Wolves have right now.
But, no, but they were older.
Yeah. And I think somebody that was connected to a turnaround like that really, really entices me because I think it's going to take, to your point about Rosas, it's going to take a very creative mind, somebody that has been around a non-traditional turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think for this team to get back to contending, it's going to take a non-traditional turnaround. They can't rely on, they're going to need some luck. Winning the draft lottery and getting Zion Williamson would be fantastic. It'd be a lucky, it'd be a lucky bounce that goes in their way, and that could certainly springboard them in the right direction. But you can't rely on that because the likelihood of them getting a top two pick 3 or 4 years in a row is just not very high right now. As long as you have Karl Anthony Towns, he's talented enough to win you enough games to where you're not going to be in that
mix.
If they
get it, say they get it once, you hope they don't ever need it again.
Right. Well,
that's the other thing. Like,
exactly.
If you are getting a top two pick 3 or 4 years in a row, something has gone bad.
Something's bad. Yeah.
Something's
gone
wrong.
Really, really wrong. So for me, it's because of the financial situation that this team is in and the need to upgrade talent on this roster. Let's be honest. Like, they need more talent. They have some nice pieces, but they need more talent. It's going to take a non-traditional sort of way to build this team back up into a winner with Cat being on the roster. So I would like somebody that was connected to the way the Nets have been able to turn it around without a whole lot of quote unquote assets, top flight assets to get themselves in the position. That's what it's going to take for me.
I love the creativity that Brooklyn has had.
Yeah.
Because that's really what I think you're getting at here is they've had to be creative at the way they rebuilt, and they did essentially a picture-perfect job of it. I don't think that you could have written a much better script. Or if you gave them when Sean Marks and Trajan Langdon were hired in 2016, and you gave them this script saying that on April 29th of 2019, you guys will have been eliminated from the playoffs for about a week. What they were facing, they would be jumping for joy if they got this turnaround as quick as they did. I don't think that there's been a more impressive turnaround in basketball that I can remember just because of all the circumstances that went into it. They didn't have their draft pick. This upcoming draft, 2019, on June 20th, when the draft takes place, this will be the first time the Nets have their pick since 2013, I believe. Either 2013 or 2012. They have not had their own pick because Boston has had it almost every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it worse is those weren't just like, oh, you're picking at 22, 25. Like, you're really not going to get a good player there, right? No, like, these are number one, number three, number eight. Like, these have been top 10 picks that have gone to Boston and then subsequently to Cleveland for one of them that they've missed out on because of poor management in the past. And the fact that this group in Brooklyn was able to overcome that is incredibly impressive to me.
And they've done it fairly quickly.
Very quickly.
A lot quicker than I think a lot of, like, when you got a full look at where the Nets were at just a couple of years ago, you thought, oh man, they're going to be.
Here's what I think.
They're a long ways away from even getting like lottery picks and getting themselves in a position to have a young star coming up.
Here's what I think their trajectory was going to be, or at least how I would have envisioned it. I would have envisioned them trying to put together the most competitive team that they possibly could until this year, and then try and tear it down and really start your rebuild when you finally have your assets again. And meanwhile, try and collect assets while you can during the times when you don't have your picks. But then, really, I thought that this would be the year that they just went full-on tank. And instead, it's been the opposite, and it's been incredible to see.
And they're going to have money this summer.
They'll have money. They've got talent.
Yeah.
they are in an awesome position. Now, the Wolves, the money situation there is much different than it will ever be here just because of Carl's upcoming contract and Andrew's contract, Gorey's contract. Obviously, Jeff Teague will be off the books after this season. So that's a difference. But after that, there's a lot of similarities. Like, yeah, the Wolves have their draft picks, but they typically haven't had lottery luck. They've never actually moved up in the draft lottery, which is, I mean, if it's going to happen, no time like the present, I guess, right? Yeah. In my mock draft that I put out today, the Charlotte Hornets were the winners. That would be an interesting case.
Yeah.
Anyways, even if the Wolves don't move up, they have to be able to identify a prospect. And I think Trajan Langdon has had a big hand in identifying some guys at Brooklyn. And they haven't been the top picks the way that you would hope if you're rebuilding, but he's identified some types of guys, and I think that that's helpful too.
Yeah, no, 100%. And again, it's going to take, when you look at this draft, if the Wolves end up with the 10th pick, and we'll find out on May 14th after the lottery where exactly they'll be picking.
But I can't wait for May 14th.
I know. I'm counting down the days myself. It's just a couple of weeks away, actually. If the Wolves end up with the 10th pick, I don't know who the hell it's going to be right now. But whoever it is, we've said this time and time again, whoever it is, it needs to be somebody that's going to have a significant impact on this team.
Yeah.
It may not need to be a superstar to the level of Karl Anthony Towns, but it's going to need to be a good player. Like, I don't even think finding just a solid role player with that spot is really going to be enough. They need to find a guy who can make an all-star team or two, at least, with that 10th pick. And whoever the president of basketball operations is going to be, right now you and I have Trajan Langdon as the number one guy, whoever that is, they need to be able to identify that player.
Have you started looking at prospects that you would want your eyes on if you're the Wolves yet?
Not really. I mean, some names, I know. Doing Myron on Hoops every Friday, you know, Myron and I have talked about different guys, and you know, Kobe White's name came up a couple of weeks back, the point guard, I guess he's kind of a combo guard from North Carolina. His name has come up.
He is actually the guy that I selected as the Wolves on today's mock draft because they, with Charlotte winning, they fell to 11th actually because Charlotte jumped all the way up to number one, so they actually fell on this one. And a couple guys that I would love for the Wolves to be able to grab were not available at 11, but Kobe White's a guy that I think would fit in terrifically with Carl.
I like him. He plays fast. He can shoot a little bit. He's, you know, I don't know how good of a defender he actually is. It's really hard to judge how good a defender a guy is in college because it's, you know, the defenses are so
there's a very high, there's a very stiff learning curve for guards in the NBA as defenders. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very steep curve.
Yeah, so it's really hard to tell, like, how good he's going to be at the end of the floor. Right now, I really don't even care. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, I
it's Zion or bust?
I think at this point, if you're the Wolves, you got to start looking at, okay, how is this guy how can this guy potentially fit with Karl Anthony Towns?
Mm-hmm.
Can he complement Karl Anthony Towns very well? Can Kobe White complement Karl Anthony Towns very well? Can a Keldon Johnson from Kentucky complement Karl Anthony Towns really well? Can Jared Culver from Texas Tech, I don't know if he'll be there at 10, but
I don't think he will.
No. But I think if you're whoever it is making this decision, that I think has to be the mindset. Like, can this person fit in with Karl Anthony Towns well?
I think that that's the most important question, unless you're picking at number one, and then it's Zion, of course.
And then, yeah.
Which is the funny thing about doing these mock drafts is I've had three different teams win the lottery, and all three have picked Zion Williamson. I'm just like, yeah, nothing to see here, guys. Like, that's what I'm writing. It's like 3 weeks, three different teams, the same result.
So how many guys that are potentially going to go, let's say, in the lottery, do you like?
Pairing next to Towns or like in general?
Pairing next to Cat.
I like Brandon Clark from Gonzaga a lot. Yep. I think that he'd be a terrific. He can't shoot from the outside very well. That's his biggest weakness. But he can do everything else offensively. He can be a great short roll guy. He's a good passer. He can ball handle well. He can do just about everything that you need. And defensively, he's very switchable. He would struggle against guys like Joel Embiid on the defensive end, but he would really thrive against more athletic centers than just typical bruisers down low. I like him a lot. I think that Tyler Hero is probably a bit of a reach, but the guard from Kentucky, I think that he will be there at 10 no matter what. I would be stunned if he goes top 10, and he's probably even a reach at 10. If you could trade back to like 15 and snag him, I think that that would be an interesting fit because I think he's a good shooter. And the Wolves, one of the problems for the Wolves is all of their three-point threats are front-court players. Like, they don't have guys in the backcourt that can shoot three-pointers well, and Tyler Hero can absolutely do that. Another guy who I think is a little bit under the radar and I think might actually go a little bit higher than he's being projected to right now is Darius Garland from Vanderbilt. He's a guy that missed a lot of his freshman season because he got injured.
Towards meniscus, I think.
Yes, correct. So he missed most of his freshman year at Vanderbilt. And I think he could be an outstanding NBA player.
He can really shoot it up.
Yeah. He's going to be a guy that can be a top-notch scorer in the NBA. And I think that having an explosive guard that can score will be awesome for Carl because he's never really had that in his career.
Yeah. No, he's another one that I've looked at. The only thing that gives me pause on him is just the injury. But, you know, it's one of those things. Sometimes you have to be willing to take a little bit of a risk on a guy who has a lot of upside. I don't know. We'll see. But the one guy, believe it or not, that I'm really terrified of right now is Cam Reddish.
I don't think Cam Reddish is there at 10.
You think somebody's going to get him before?
I do, because I think his ceiling's too high for him to fall that far.
But people are really worried about him in terms of...
If they were picking at 4, I would be scared to death.
Yeah.
I would be terrified. I had him go 4 to the Knicks in this draft because it's the Knicks.
It's the Knicks.
That's the only reason I had him go 4. But he's got a pretty high ceiling. Yeah. He's flashed too much Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
And I think that
that's exactly why I'm scared of him.
I also think to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, I think being the number 3 option really hurt him at Duke. I think that if he would have gone somewhere else and been able to be the guy or at least the number 2, I think that we might have a little bit different opinion on him. But he was the 3rd guy. And when you've never been that in your life, and you're a one-and-done kid, that's a tough adjustment because every time you go out there, you know you're playing for money. And when your opportunity is not as... your opportunity isn't as great as it normally would be because you have limited chances with 2 other lottery picks on the floor at all times with you, you're going to stress a little bit. And I think that that might be part of the reason why his game suffered this year. So I'm not as down on him as a lot of people because I think that that probably played into it a little bit. But also I understand the qualms that people have with picking him, and I would be a little scared to take him too in the top 5.
Because there's no questioning the talent. I mean, he is... Before the season started, when all of those freshmen decided to go to Duke, and we know that Trey Jones is going back, but when Zion, RJ, and Cam all went to Duke, it was like, these guys are all going to be like the top 3 picks in the draft are going to be those 3 guys.
Yeah, I think Reddish was like the number 2, I think Reddish was like the number 2 recruit in the country. Because RJ Barrett was number 1, Zion was 6.
Yeah.
Zion was not as highly thought of, and I think a lot of the Zion stuff coming out of high school was, oh, he can dunk. Can he do anything else? And I had no idea.
Right.
And we learned that he could at Duke, but essentially it was, oh, we know he can dunk really well, and he's big and strong and athletic, but I don't know, can he play basketball or can he just dunk?
And then we saw him play against Kentucky the first game of the season. And it's like, oh, my God, he can run and dunk and jump,
pass,
but he can handle the ball and he can pass and... The only thing he can't really do at an elite level is shoot, but he's
but
a capable shooter.
But even then, he turned it on. Towards the end, his first month or so wasn't great, but as he got better from three-point range as the season went on. I think that that's something that might get overlooked with him, too, and I understand why, because there are so many other things to like about him. But if Cam Reddish is there at 10, I think that'd be terrific because, there's a chance it doesn't work out. There's a chance he's Andrew Wiggins. But at 10, you could get a star. You absolutely could get a star. I'm not saying you will. But he's got a high ceiling for a guy to fall to number 10.
It will be interesting to see the approach that this team takes, though, because with what we know about Andrew Wiggins right now, in a sense, the biggest need is someone that can come in and give you what Andrew Wiggins hasn't been giving you and pick up the slack. I mean, and it sucks to have to think that way, but... You just can't trust Andrew right now to be a significant, like, number two player behind Karl Anthony Towns. You just can't trust that.
You can't trust him to be number three. You can't trust him at all. What can you trust him to do?
Nothing.
That's the problem.
Nothing.
All right, I want to get into our single sim, and I also have a random Timberwolf of the day for you, Manny Hill.
Awesome.
I'm on Tankathon.com, where we always go to sim the lottery. Clicking sim, the Washington Wizards are the winner this week for me, with the New York Knicks number two, Chicago number three, Phoenix four, Cleveland five, Atlanta six, and then it resets. Wolves pick 10th.
Okay, and here's mine. Cleveland.
Of course.
Wins the lottery.
it always happens.
And then the Memphis Grizzlies are number two. They move up six spots. And then it finishes up with Phoenix, Chicago, New York drops all the way down to five, Atlanta, Washington, New Orleans, Dallas, and the Wolves at 10.
So no fun for us today.
Not today.
All right. You random Minnesota Timberwolf of the day is James Robinson.
Oh, what can you tell me about Hollywood? Him? James Hollywood Robinson. He probably, I want to say he was with the Wolves late 90s.
Yes.
Was he on the first playoff team, 96, 97?
He was on the team in 96, 97. And then I believe in the offseason he signed with the Clippers, was with the Clippers 97, 98, the start of 98, 99, and then was back with the Wolves at the end of 98, 99.
Don't remember him coming back for a second stint.
He was in Minnesota two different times.
Okay.
He played 17 games in his second stint, averaged 4.5 points a game.
That's probably why I don't remember his second stint. Hollywood Robinson, man. James Hollywood Robinson. Yeah, he was a pretty good three-point shooter.
Shot 34%, almost 35% from deep, and back then that was real good.
I mean, certainly for the Wolves, that was fantastic.
Yeah, is he on like that any career lists? Like,
he might be. But he spent most of the first part of his career with Portland, though, right? If I'm not mistaken.
The first 3 years of his career were with Portland and then Minnesota, the Clippers, Minnesota again, and then Orlando for his final season in which he played six games.
Okay. That was a stretch.
He also went to Greece for a year.
Okay. That late 90s stretch for the Wolves was like... And I know James Robinson doesn't fall into this category, but that was a stretch like in the late 90s into the early 2000s of like every year they had just like mediocre, like 6'8", 205, 210-pound like small forward. So they'd had like Todd Day and then, you know, 3D, Dennis Scott had a couple 3D, water with the Wolves.
Wow.
Yeah, so they had they had some guys, Kendall Gill and...
Oof.
And Malik Sealy, rest in peace, was probably the best guy out of all those, out of that group of only, like 6'8 guys.
Only Minnesota Timberwolf to have his number retired, Malik Sealy.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. So, all right.
All right. That's all I got for today on Show of Hands. Appreciate you listening. Make sure to subscribe, rate, review. We can be found anywhere you find podcasts. Also, be sure to download the Score North app. Just go on the Google Play Store or the Apple Store and type in Score North, and it'll pop up for you. Make sure to download and give that app a 5-star review as well. But until next time, for Manny Hill, I'm Danny Cunningham. This has been Show of Hands.